As you see from the story, Jesus was talking to the crowds and pressing in that people loved soaking up what Jesus was saying, and they hadn't heard him teach like this before. So they kept pressing in, and he goes, how can I get the word out to everyone the best way possible? Didn't have a sound system, didn't have kind of a microphone or anything back then, but he used the natural kind of amphitheater that was there, and the water, and the way the sound bounces off the water. He would have known science really well, I reckon. So he goes, hey, there's a couple of boats here. There's one on the shore over there, and there's one just here. I'll get in the boat and talk to them. So I'm going to try this. All right. So he got in the boat, and he started teaching. And not yet. Thank you. This is Simon Peter here. Welcome, Simon Peter. Do you mind if I use your boat for a little bit? Okay, so he was preaching from the boat, teaching everyone, and I reckon you could probably read what he was teaching in one of the other Gospels in Matthew, and it was about the growing of the disciples like seeds that are growing in the soil, and they grow up to bear fruit. So he's teaching them all these things, and when he finishes teaching, he says, "Now, Simon, that's you, okay. Do you mind if you just put out into deeper water here?" Well, no, you didn't say certainly straight away. No, you didn't say that. So you said no in a first up. You said, "Now, would you mind going out there and casting out your nets and going fishing?" Now, what did you say?
I could say yes.
That's right. So Simon Peter said, "Well, no, we've been fishing all night. There was nothing there. What's the point in going out there anymore? But because you're the teacher, and basically because I got Mel to, in the same way that I just got Mel to pray for me, you know, everyone's watching. Okay, yep, I'll do it, sure." So they put out into deeper water. How are you going to go with that? All right. We were going to have this like going out into the deep. Were you going to be the water? Or it's just going to boom, 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 boom. Through there, but the mast wouldn't fit. That's the only reason, wasn't it? are we good enough? Does this look like deeper water for everyone? Yeah? Okay. So they put out into deeper water, and they cast out their nets, and they caught so much fish they had to call in the other boats to get all the fish back. And it was an amazing miracle. And what did Simon Peter do? What did you do? That's right. Came again, but you saw the miracle of the what was going on, and you just got this acknowledgement that here is God amongst us, and you bowed down and said, "I'm a sinner, and Lord, I'm not worthy to be here." That's good bowing down. Thank you. Well done. Except you're in the water here. That would you probably be drowning right now, but that's okay. Yeah. And remember, the boat is full of fish, so it's a bit hard to bow down, but you're in waist-deep in fish. That's good, yeah. And Jesus said, "Don't be afraid." And he said, "Instead of fishing for men, you're going to be fish for people. Or fish for fish, you're going to fish for people." And so they went back, and he dropped everything. Oh, you're not holding me anymore, are you? So they went back. "Yeah, now you can push me back. Now you can push me back." That's good. What did someone say about wobbly boats? Thanks. Yep, that's good. Went back and they dropped everything and they followed Jesus. And that's the story. Thank you. Thank you very much. Give it a round of applause. Good job. And thank you for bringing out your boat here. Now, what's this story mean to us here at Burnside City today? You know, when Jesus says something, when he does something, it's not just practically what's going on. He's not just saying, you know, there's better fishing spots out deeper. Now, in Port Lincoln, when I used to preach, most of the people in the congregation would go, "All right, okay, we better fish out deeper. That's our secret spot out there." They would have taken that as the main meaning of the story. No, not quite. But we realize, I'm sure you've been around long enough to work out that when Jesus is talking, there's different levels to the way he talks, isn't there? This practically, okay, go out deeper, you'll catch some fish. But what's that mean spiritually? What's that mean emotionally to us? What does deeper water mean for us? There's three things I want to get across this morning. And the first one is to put out into deeper water. If you look at the Greek word for deep, you get this word bathos, bathos. Bath, for another word, bathos. Okay, and you see this word found throughout scriptures in the New Testament. And it's interesting what it says, where you find this word deep. Yes, you see it in terms of deeper water, but you also see it somewhere else. I see it in Romans 11, for example. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. It's talking about the deepness of God, the unknowable God, the richness of God, the beauty, the majesty, the mystery of God. The deepness. Put out into the deepness of God. Think about where other places you might have heard the word deep in Scripture. What about, there's a prayer, one of my favorite prayers from Ephesians, and it says that I hope that, this is Paul praying to his church, and he's saying, I hope that you know how wide and how deep is the love of God. How deep do you know the love of God? There's another place where you might have heard this. It's a bit of a favorite verse for a lot of people. And you also see it in Romans. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, not the heights or the depths. So we get this picture that deepness, putting out in deep water, is not just about catching fish, but it's about knowing the deepness and the mystery and the richness and the beauty of God. But how can we do it? And there we go from 1 Corinthians 2, you see this word bathos again. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 7, it says, Now we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden, and that God destined for our glory before time began. So this idea of mystery of God. But then if we read a bit further on, verse 10, it says this, the Spirit searches all things, the Holy Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. How do we understand the deep riches of God? The Holy Spirit into our lives, speaking to us, whispering to us, prodding us, prompting us, encouraging us. That's how we know the deepness, the richness of God. And this is all put together beautifully in Psalm 42. It's a psalm that starts off, as the deer pants for the streams of water. You may know that, as the deer pants for the water. And people love that song, but it's actually a song about the longingness for God. It's like someone who's on their knees and saying, God, I don't know where you are. You've forsaken me. I need you in my life. Please come to me. I'm thirsty for you. I'm thirsty for the deepness of God. And in the middle of this psalm, it says this. It says, deep calls to deep. I think that's about the deepness of our spirit, of our souls, calling to the deep of God. Or maybe it's the other way around, the deepness of God calling to the deepness of who we are. In the roar of your waterfalls, all your waves and breakers have swept over me. Have you known the deepness of God? Is there more to be found? I learned a lesson from science. Now, this is my science here. This is growing bacteria. Has anyone ever grown bacteria before? I'm sure we all grow bacteria in our guts and probably in our armpits right now. You're growing bacteria. But have you done it sort of intentionally? Actually, a lot of people like that kombucha and all that kind of stuff right now. So they love to grow their bacteria and their yeast and a whole lot of other things. But when I was working in the lab, I would have a flask and there'd be some broth in there. And then I'd put a little bit of bacteria in there, just probably about a few thousand or so. And then I'd put it in a warm room, a 37-degree room, and it'd be shaking overnight. When I come back the next day, it's all milky, hopefully, and that means it's grown properly, and I can use that bacterial culture for something else. Now, if you look and you map at how quickly a bacterial culture grows over time, so this is a time scale here, and this is a log of numbers of bacteria. So we start off with a small amount of bacteria, And it takes a while for it to heat up and to actually start doing anything. It's called the lag phase. There is a point to this. We're coming to a point, if you're wondering where I'm going. Okay, there's a lag phase. When not much happens, the bacteria is sitting in the water going, or the broth, this is interesting. And after a while, they start to divide, and they start to divide more rapidly. And it's logarithmic growth that happens whoosh, up there. And you see this a massive explosion of growth. But then it reaches a point where it's run out of food, run out of broth, it's run out of the nutrients. So it goes through this stationary phase, this plateau. And then if you keep it growing, it starts to actually degrade or decline. Why am I showing you this? Well, we're talking about the deepness and the richness of God and knowing it. Think about this. How do you get that bacterial culture to grow again? How do you reckon you might grow it again and not have this lag phase, not have this decline phase? What would you do? Say that again. More broth. Give it more food. Give it more food. Where are you in your spiritual life, in your discipleship? Are you in this sort of, I'm not sure what's going to happen with God, and it could be an exciting adventure, and you're about to explode into enormous growth? Are you in this growing phase? Perhaps you're in a plateau, or maybe you're in a decline. How do you boost back up to that next bit of growth phase? More food. Where do you get that more food from? Well, you could probably come up with a bunch of ideas. Worship is one of those. You've come to the right place. Well done. Tick a box. You've got there. And actually engaging in worship too. Allowing the Spirit to mix with yours and to teach you and to whisper to you. You can get one of these things, a Bible. And we read it at church on Sunday, but we can't read it for you during the week. You've got to do that yourselves. You could read your Bible. You can pray. You can spend time with God. You can be part of a life group or a house group or a Bible study group. And there's a number of those going on in this church. It's good to see. There's other ways that you can grow in your faith. You can serve God. But if you are serving God, and I've seen some amazing ways that people serve God, stop and reflect on that at times too. Why am I doing what I'm doing? Lord, I need your help. Lord, what's happening? Is there fruit to this ministry? Lord, please help me. Encourage me. There's lots of ways that we can grow in our faith. Where are you on this bacterial growth curve? Are you going out into deeper water? I've got two more things to say about this. Notice what happened to Peter when he went out into deeper water. He was reticent about going. He was quite resistant, wasn't he? He said, look, I don't really want to go. We've been catching fish all night. It's not going to work. But just because you've said so, I better go. So he does, and he catches a lot. When he comes back, have you noticed that he's a transformed person? He went to Jesus and said, I'm a sinful person. And he acknowledged his own sin in there. But when he left that shore, he was no longer a fisherman, was he? He changed his identity and his purpose thanks to what Jesus did with him at that deeper water. And I think the same thing happens to us. When we experience the living God in our lives, we can't help but be transformed. We can't help but have our motivations, our intentions, our purposes changed. At the end of the story of the Gospels, Peter's certainly no longer a fisherman. He does go back to that once Jesus dies, but when he comes back to him again, He's the one, if you look to the book of Acts and the Holy Spirit comes, he's leading the church. He's leading the church out there and saying to them the good news of Jesus Christ in their lives. Have you had your life transformed in that way? Have you gone, you know, Jesus, I don't want to fish for fish anymore. I want to fish for people. I want to leave everything. And that's the next thing, isn't it? The last one. Travel light with Christ. You notice how they finally responded to God working in their lives is they left everything and they followed him. Left everything behind. They traveled light with Jesus. And sometimes I know I've done it myself, you take some baggage with you because you like it. It's nice. It makes you feel comfortable. And Jesus, I want to give you my all except for this little bit here in my life. Can you just accept that? Because that's who I am, maybe. We need to travel light with Christ and leave everything behind and trust that God will give it to us as we go into that amazing journey with Jesus. So if you think about what we've said here, go and push out into deeper water. And when you go into that deeper water, when you experience the living Christ in a new and a transformative way, you will be transformed. Your purpose will change. And it's a little bit scary. When you come back off that shore, you leave stuff behind and you follow Christ. Is Jesus talking to you today about one of those three things? Maybe all of those. Maybe is Jesus talking to us at Burnside City? Is there stuff that we need to do as a church to go deeper, to be transformed and to change our purpose and to leave stuff behind to move forward? I didn't want to say that for my first sermon here, because, but it's the lectionary. I didn't have a choice. What about us? Let me pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for this story. We thank you for what you did out there in the deep water. And Lord Jesus, we admit that there are times in our lives where we've been resistant to going deeper. It's a bit scary. It's a bit of a wobbly boat. We're not sure who's controlling it. We're not sure what that deep water is going to look like. And we're scared. And Lord, help us to shift from our comfortableness, to push out into that deeper water. Oh Lord, the richness of you is so vast, and we haven't even got to the surface of it. We know that your love is so deep. Help us to know how deep that love is, to reach further. What is it that you're saying to us, Holy Spirit, that can help us to get there? As we draw closer to you, you draw closer to us. Lord, inspire us and tell us what it is that we need to do. And Jesus, there's some of us here that need a new purpose in our lives. In fact, they just need a purpose in their lives. They need a reason for why they're struggling on. And you gave a new identity to Peter. Give a new identity to someone here this morning. One that is your identity as a child of the living God, loved by you. The one whose love we don't even know the deepness of. Breathe your spirit on them now. Let them know you in a close way. Let them know the purpose you have for their life. And Lord, as we come back to the shore, help us to be like those disciples, just so willing to drop the boats and just go, follow in your footsteps, watch what you're doing, and then show that to the rest of the world. What is it that we need to leave behind? Now, Lord, we can't do it on our own. We need your strength and your help to do it. We thank you, Lord, that you answer our prayers. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.